You guys are sounding in tune as well as the guitar. And thank you, Rodney, and thank you, Leah, for setting really up what we're going to talk about today. As we continue in our series called Focus, what should the church be focused on? As we kind of go into this new church year and thinking about what does God want us to accomplish? What exactly is it that he wants us to be doing as his followers? I think it's a good question. I think sometimes we come to church, and sometimes as followers of Christ, we get kind of caught up in this idea that I need to be busy. And you know what? We certainly need to be doing something. Exactly what we need to be doing is releasing Children's Church. And they're leaving as we speak anyway. So if you are from age 3 to kindergarten, please, at this time, you are free to go. And we're praying for you guys as you go. And thank you so much for those who do that week after week. But this morning, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. We're going to break this down as Paul is talking about this idea of what does it look like when you begin to shrink down this big idea of what it means to be on mission with God. Last week, we talked about the fact that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that when it comes to the church in a big picture, that Jesus' last words meant something. That as Jesus left this planet and went back to be our intercessor in heaven at the right hand of the Father, that as he was sending his Holy Spirit to come and to empower us to take on the mission that he had given us, we learned last week that, listen, everybody, God wants us to reach everybody. Starting with our hometown and moving to the uttermost parts of the earth, that we have been empowered through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that everywhere is a mission field, not just our backyard, not just overseas, but everywhere. God is empowering us to go and to complete this mission. And it was the last thing he said to his disciples, to the church, that when the Holy Spirit came, would launch what we are doing today, known as the church. And so as we kind of look at week number 2, and we alluded to it last week, that God is calling us to be a part of his plan to reach the world. And to do that, we have to be evangelists. You're sitting there thinking, my picture of an evangelist is a big tent thrown up somewhere and a guy in a white suit and white shoes. Now, maybe that's throwing me back a little bit. That's what I saw when I was growing up. But an evangelist is one who shares good news, who shares the good news of Jesus. And the reality is, we're going to see today, every single one of us has been called to share. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about the fact that God is asking me to be his mouthpiece, that God is asking me to be a part of his plan to reach people, I'll be the first to tell you that sometimes that seems such a big task, and it seems such a big thing in someone's life, and you wonder, you say, how could God use somebody like me or somebody like you to lead someone to Christ? How does it work? How does it go? I mean, the reality is that God is calling us to reach our community. And last week we looked at this idea of who's in our community. I just want to throw these slides back up here for you. This is who lives in our Jerusalem. We talked about Jerusalem being our hometown, the area by which we live. And what do we see? We see in 2014, within a 5-mile radius, 32,246 people live within 5 miles of this church. God has placed us here strategically to be light in a dark community. What do we see? We see the average age there is 36 years of age, between 30 and 36. This is our mission field. These are the people that God is calling us to reach. And then married couples and single parents, you see there some 5,000 something families within our area. The next slide is from a few years ago, but actually it talks about the fact that 60% of those people are unchurched. What that means is either they were in church at one time and they just gave up because they've been to church, they'd done that, and they'd had some kind of experience, and they said, I'm done with church. They may still love Jesus, but they just don't love church people. Or maybe 70% estimated in this area within a 5-mile radius absolutely don't know either who Jesus is, or they don't have a personal relationship with him. You see, we can be about a lot of things. We can be about a lot of good things, and we should be. But ultimately, as we learned last week, Acts 1:8 tells us that we, as God does, should care about the eternity of those that are around us. If we genuinely believe that people spend eternity somewhere, then it should matter. It should matter to us. It should matter to me. It should matter to you. And so God is called. Listen, it's a mystery. Paul called it a mystery, the fact that God wants to include us in this process by which God leads people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. So maybe you're like me, and you're sitting here today, and you're like, listen, I've heard these stories before. I've heard a sermon about this before, and I just don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I'm someone that can do that. The reality is this, is that it should be, for me and for you, it should just be the way we live our lives every day. You see, sometimes we've compartmentalized evangelism and our lives. What that means is that when I'm going to share Christ with somebody, then I have to go into some kind of mode, some kind of like, you know, friend, let me tell you something. The reality is that it is a lifestyle. It is the way we should live our lives every day because of our relationship with God. And listen, this sermon is not intended to be guilt-ridden. I hope it's an encouragement to you, because as we look at what Paul shares in a few minutes, we're going to begin to see that it is something that should be a part of our life, and it's something that outflows and is natural. Listen, one of the greatest people in my life that has helped me to understand this has been my own dad. My dad was, for a pastor for, about 50 years he was in the ministry. And I guess he still is. I guess pastors are like Marines. They never quit being pastors. They just keep going on. But I remember as a kid just seeing the example of one who lived the lifestyle. And he is someone who just seems to share with everybody. But we, as a child, we lived in Colorado, Buena Vista, Colorado. And I was in kindergarten in first grade and that. So it's some of the first memories I have was that at any given time, my father was bringing somebody from the community into our home. Just beginning to mirror what it looked like to have influence. Now, what I didn't know at the time was, and my mom shared later, was that he was going into the local prison and finding people who were getting leaves for the weekend, and he was inviting them back to our home. So I can imagine this is how the meal went. So what's your name? My name is John. So what are you in for? I'm in for murder. Can you pass the mashed potatoes, please? Scary. But the Lord protected. But what I remember is, and what I have seen in my father, and what I hope that we will leave today here is that we are a part of what God is doing, and we are empowered, just like we talked about last week, to be on mission with him. And so maybe you can relate to this. And when it comes to this idea, you have convinced yourself that that is for the professionals. That is for those who have been called into ministry. That's for someone who knows CWT or knows the Roman road or has been trained somehow by which they can do it. Now, here's what I want to tell you is that we've all been called and we have all been equipped, and we'll see in just a few minutes that we have a very small part to play, but an important part, because really in reality, as we will see in a few minutes, God is the one who is doing the saving. So the question that maybe you're having, but for me the tension is, how can I be successful at sharing Jesus with others? If that's what God has called us to do, if he's called us to be on mission with him, and I want to be successful in following my Savior and his last words, how can we do it? How can you do it? How can I do it? And so what do we see? We see Paul gives us a beautiful picture of how this process works in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So what's going on in this passage? In this passage, Paul is dealing with church leaders. He's dealing with people in the church, and there's disconnect, there's dissension, there's this idea, there is, believe it or not, they're arguing in church. I know that's hard to believe, but there was some dissension about what is supposed to be the focus of what they are doing. And what they began to do within the church was they took their eyes off of Jesus. They took their eyes off what Jesus had commanded them to do, and they began to wear a prideful badge of who had baptized them or who had saved them, or who had led them to the Lord. And you see, church took on a different look, and Paul is warning them. He's warning them and saying, listen, you need to stay focused upon the one who saves, not who saved you. You see, Paul is saying it's not about heritage. So many times, sometimes in church, I know we say, well, I'm the grandfather of the grandson of the grandfather, whatever, that started this church, and that's great. But let me just tell you something. That is an awesome fact, but it is not the thing that you might focus upon. Paul is reminding them that it is not about heritage. It's not about the history of where you've been. It is about the fact that we are headed in a certain direction, and that direction was given to us in Acts 1:8, that we are to go into, starting in Jerusalem, into the othermost parts of the earth. And so what do we see? We see that Paul is, he's telling me, he says, listen, you are being carnal, or another way of saying that is you are thinking of yourself. You're not thinking spiritually when it comes to what the church should be focused on. You see, it can happen in any church. We can become very inwardly focused. It's all about me. I know I can. I can't speak for you. Paul is warning a church that will be on fire for God, a church that will understand what it's supposed to be focused upon, will realize the message and the method and the mission that God has given us. And listen, how can we be successful at sharing Jesus with others? We have to realize what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. He says, listen, I want to remind you, when it came to salvation, it was God who gave the increase. You have very little to do with it. The people that you are patting yourself on the back for were just a part of the process. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7, here's what it says. What, after all, is Apollos? Apollos was one of the disciples that had been saved and now is someone who's in the church, a leader. He's saying, who is Apollos? And what is Paul? Man, the greatest missionary in the history of the world. Paul is saying, who am I? He says, only servants through whom you came to believe. See, Paul is saying that we were part of a process. We were instruments of grace in the hands of God. What does he say? He says, as the Lord has assigned his task, and here's what he gives, a beautiful picture of what it means for us to share our faith. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. You see, I want you to think back to the time when you yourself came to faith in Christ. It was a process, wasn't it? See, the reality is that nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what? I'm going to go down and get some milk, some eggs. I'm going to go by and get my tire. Oh, no, yeah, I'm going to find Jesus. It doesn't work that way. For me, I didn't wake up one day and say, man, I'm going to be seeking after God. God came and found me. Through the power of his Holy Spirit, he began to convict me in my soul and begin to that emptiness that was in my heart, I began to seek and to find out what is this that I'm feeling as God begins to draw me to himself. But the reality is that as God was doing that, guess what God did for me and for you? He put people in our path along the way. One planted, another watered. More seed, more water. Maybe there's some discipline, some fertilizer. All the things that go in to that process so that at some point along the way, as you are drawn to God through the power of the Holy Spirit, you come to that dividing post in the road where you have to say yes to God, where you turn your life over to God. But the reality is that God uses me and he uses you along the way as our instruments of grace in their life. And it's no different for any of us as we went through this process. You can think of somebody that as you were going along the way, you heard a message, you were listening on the radio, you talked to somebody over coffee, you were in a service, you were in Awana, you were at Vacation Bible School, somewhere along the way, and it was in that moment, guess what gets to happen? What's so cool is that somebody along the way watered, planted, and then got to reap the harvest. But what's so great is that every single person along the way participated. Listen, what Paul is saying and what I'm saying to you today is this, is that as we go out into our jobs, to their school, to the ball fields, to the golf course, to work, to any place that God plants us. Guess what we are doing as we live our lives? If we are willing, if we are strategic, if we are available, we ourselves can plant seed, can water, and for some of us, guess what? We'll get to be there at the harvest. See, the reality is that sometimes we think it has to happen here. Listen, it can happen here. And invite your friends. They are going to hear the life-changing gospel here. But guess what's going to happen? Long before they show up here to hear the message or to pray to receive Christ, guess what's going to happen? They're going to see you live your life. They're going to hear you pour into their life. God's going to put people along the way. And before you know it, God is going to begin to draw them unto himself to give them an opportunity to accept him. And so what does Paul say? He says, listen, don't think about who it was that you were baptized or saved under. Remember that it is God who gives the increase. I don't know about you, but that takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off. You know, typically what happens for me is if I, you know, God lays it upon my heart to try to speak to somebody about Christ, and there's sometimes I get it right, and honestly, there are some times that I just mess it up. And I leave and I go, oh God, how are you going to use that? Well, what God says is success. You were obedient. And it can be from presenting the gospel all the way through to just finding somebody and giving them food and water and saying, God loves you. God told me today to be a blessing to you. Sowing and watering, God can take those things. And you know, the reality is that it is God's extended mercy to me and you that saves us. What do we read in Romans 5:8? It says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The tense there is puncticular, which means that it's a specific point in time in the Greek language. It talks about the fact that there was a specific point in time where Jesus, knowing that we were sinful, demonstrated his love for me and for you long before we ever even existed. Here's the reality, is that Jesus came on a search and rescue mission for those who are far away from God, even when we didn't even know or even acknowledge that God existed. It is God who saves. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a personal way. Maybe you have been feeling that tug on your heart. I don't know how else to say it. It's just this idea, and you begin to think about godly things, and you've been thinking about this emptiness in your life, and you've been thinking about that I need to go to church, and maybe you're here for the first time and you don't even really know why, but today can be a day that God has gotten you in a place to where today is the day that you can accept him and be a part of his family. See, the reality is that while we were still sinners, separated from him, Jesus went to the cross and died for us. In Luke chapter 15, there are so many parables. I encourage you to go back and read those. If you want to know the heart of God for you today and for me today, you see the shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes to find the one, a picture of God seeking that which is lost, a picture of a lady who loses a coin, and she sweeps her house and cleans it up until she finds the coin, and she rejoices at finding something that is lost, and has a party and throws her friends, has her friends come over. And then what do we see? We see that the prodigal son of one who is lost, and we see the father representing God looking into the distance, waiting for his son, his child to come back with open arms. You see, this is the picture of God drawing us unto himself, unto salvation through the power of his Holy Spirit. But the reality is that we are a part of the process as well. What do we see? Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. He says, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they each will be rewarded according to their own labor. It says, for we are co-workers in God's service. It says, you are God's field, God's building. J.I. Packer, the great theologian, here's what he said. He said, it is a work of communication in which Christians make themselves mouthpieces for God's mercy, message of mercy to sinners. You see, God does the drawing, but guess what? We get the blessing of being a part of the process by which we lead people to Christ. And it is not an option. Listen, if you want to have a Christian life full of excitement, full of the abundant life, a life that you quit focusing on what you used to be and on who you are, be someone who wakes up every single day and says, God, it's not what I can do for you today, but God, how might I be an instrument of grace in your hand today? God, how might my life in some way plant and water as you yourself are drawing people unto yourself? How might I be a part of this process? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in another letter to the Corinthians, here's what Paul talks about. As he talks about this truth that we're supposed to be a part of it, here's what he says. In verse 18 through 20, it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you realize that God has called us to be a minister? Pastor Ron, you're the only minister in here. No. I'm staring back at maybe 150, 160 ministers. We, each and every one of us who profess the name of Jesus, who have been saved, who have been redeemed while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, carry a message of hope to a world that God has placed us in, and we ourselves are leading people to reconciliation. Reconciliation is bringing two sides together, sinful man with holy God through the power of Jesus Christ. And we have a great message to tell. And here's what he says. He says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he is committed to, who's it say? Us. Underline that. The message of reconciliation. It says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through who? Us. Us. The church. The people that live in the Cassville area. The people that live in the 5 miles that we just talked about. The number of families that are there. We ourselves are making an appeal. And here's what's so crazy. He says, Paul says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. See, God is calling every single one of us to be someone who is reconciling, bringing someone closer to God. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a spouse, a child, a complete stranger sometimes. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It's not optional. You're like, man, okay, I get that, Pastor Ron, I get it. But I just don't know, man. Even now, I'm just thinking about the fact that, you know, it means I'm going to have to get outside my comfort zone. I'm going to have to speak to people maybe about spiritual things that I don't feel comfortable about. Yes. Here's the way it works. Maybe this will help you. You see, God's in the saving business. We're in the bringing people together business. We're in the pointing back to Jesus business. We're in the glorifying our Heavenly Father business. We're always pointing past ourselves to the one who can actually do something. And I liken it to this idea of so many times we think about a place, an amazing place maybe that we've been, and I haven't been this place, but I think about people who have, and Mount Everest, one of the greatest, the tallest mountain in the world, and here's a guide standing there, and what he's saying is, he said, I've been to the top. You won't believe the view. It is amazing up here. The journey's not easy. It's not easy. There's bumps along the way, but I just want to tell you something. I have been to the top, and I have seen and I have experienced what it's like to be on top of the mountain, and here's what I want to do for you. I want you to come with me. I want you to experience all that I've experienced having gone to the top of this mountain. You see, for those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, it should be a mountaintop experience. He should have made such an impact in our life that we're like, golly, listen, life is so much better. It's not easier, but it's so much better having my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that knowing that if I close my eyes today and I don't open them tomorrow, guess what? I'm not afraid. Come with me. Check it out. I mean, it's going to be a little bit of a journey for you. I'm going to have to plant and water and seed. But listen, God is going to give the increase as you step into his presence on top of this mountain. Or maybe it's a waterfall. Maybe you've gone to a waterfall in this area. This right here is up in Helen, Georgia. And it's just an amazing waterfall. It's one that I've actually walked up to. And as you go I think it's Anna Ruby Falls, I think is the name of it. And as you walk up to it, it's just this amazing thing. But guess what? Along the way, you know, you're stepping over creeks and you're going over bridges. And so many times the reason people even go up there is because what? Somebody says, dude, you've got to go see a waterfall. I'll go with you. I'll walk alongside you on this path, this journey, leading them, pointing them to Christ. So the reality is that Paul is saying, listen, when it comes to what God is doing, we are his fellow workers, his co-laborers. We are instruments of grace. And then what does Paul say in chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 in 1 Corinthians? He says, but ultimately all those things, it comes down to the fact that the message is always going to point back to Jesus. It's about Jesus. What does he read? It says this. Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, listen, I've done some things. I have been here. I have planted churches. I have been the one that you have looked to as doing this faith. But he said, ultimately, the foundation by which we share is not about those who know me as Paul or Apollos. But ultimately, the message we share is about Jesus. See, Paul is saying that our message must always point back to Jesus. No one will ever get saved just hearing about the good works that our church does. No one will ever get saved just because you give them water. No one will ever get saved just because you do something nice for them or you do all these things. Ultimately, what Paul is saying here is that when it comes to sharing the gospel, at some point we have to open up our mouths and share. And you're like, man, that's the part that gets kind of nerve-wracking for me because I don't want to mess this up. But let me just tell you something. Here's the way. When I share Christ with somebody, I do it from a relationship standpoint. If you've met Jesus in a personal way, you have a story. I love the song, You Make Me Brave, because in our relationship with God, as we talked about last week, that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit we can fulfill what he has called us to do. And in my life, as God opens up doors of opportunity, as I'm a part of that process that God is leading people to him, I get an opportunity to talk about somebody I love. You may have heard me share this before, but to me, the best way to talk about it is this. When I share Christ with somebody, I just talk about somebody I have a relationship with. You know, if they were to ask me about my wife, I wouldn't even hesitate. Oh, let me tell you about my wife. She is so beautiful. Man, I really outpunted my coverage when I got her. I mean, I was just like, I mean, it's just, you know, way above my pay grade. got the most beautiful smile and blue eyes, and I mean, it's just amazing. She's a great mother, and man, I just love her. I love spending time with her, and let me just tell you about what she means to me, how she's changed my life, and how, listen, I am looking forward to spending the rest of my life with her. What's the difference? Man, let me tell you about Jesus. Man, about 10 years ago, I was at the bottom of my rope. And I met Jesus face to face. And it changed my life. My life hasn't been perfect or easy, but I'm going to tell you what, he's walked with me step by step. And let me just tell you about my Savior, man. He never leaves me or forsakes me. Man, he is there for me. He has given me a living hope that no matter what goes on in my life, I can have joy down in my soul even when I'm not the happiest in the moment, because I know that I am saved and I have a relationship with God because of my Savior Jesus. I love him. I love him. Wouldn't you like to experience that as well? Guess what? You just shared your faith. Just a conversation about somebody you love. Somebody who's changed you. Somebody who's impacted you. As God is sending us out to live this life, he's just saying, just share what I'm doing in your life at the moment with those that are around you as I give the opportunity to do so. You see, last week I showed you a whole list of values at our church. I want you to look at these again as we talk about why is it that we have these values. It means that as a church, we are saying if we value this, this is what we are going to do. And as we look at what is up here, the first one on the thing is we're going to focus on Jesus. The other one is we're going to be strategic. We're going to be about lost people. As a church, my prayer for me and for you is that as we move forward into this new year, we're going to begin to think differently about what God has called us to do as a church. That we are going to begin to think strategically. That we are going to have a heart that's broken for what breaks God's heart. And that is the fact that God has called every single one of us to be on mission with him. We kick off Awana this Wednesday. Guess what? We got a whole group of missionaries on Wednesday nights are going to show up, and they're going to read God's word with these students. They're going to help them learn God's word, and they're just going to love on these kids and show them what God looks like with skin on. This week, every single one of us are going to have an opportunity. Every one of us, if we're willing. If we think strategically, if we really value the things that God values, then we can be a part of something amazing that God is doing in this community. So what would it look like if we became a church that was on fire to reach people? Every single one of us realize that somebody this week, God is bringing along our path in the process by which he is drawing them unto himself. And it may just mean that this week you say, hey man, I know we've known each other a long time, but hey, can we grab a cup of coffee? I'd love to just hear your story about your life. Maybe it's somebody you've been talking to for a while, and this would be the perfect opportunity for you to say, listen man, come to church with me this week. I'll pick you up. We'll go grab some lunch. God is calling us to be on mission with him. I love this quote, and we'll end with this. Quote by Jim Elliot. Many of you might know who he is, but he was a missionary to Ecuador. And in the 1940s, he was reaching out, him and Nate Saint, were reaching out to an Indian tribe there in Ecuador. And they had developed a relationship, and they eventually made contact, and then ultimately they end up getting killed by the very people that they are ministering to. See, the rest of the story is that ultimately, that entire tribe comes to faith in Christ because some was watering, some was planting, some was watering. But in God's timing, guess what happened? God gave the increase. God gave the increase. We don't know what God is doing all the time. We don't know what he's doing any of the time because we're not God. But here's what we do know. As a blessing to me and you, he's saying, be on mission with me. Let me read this quote for you because this is one that I have read many times for me personally, and I want to challenge each of us to do this. Here's the prayer that Jim Elliot had in his journal that he wrote not long before he himself was killed. He said, Father, make me a crisis man. Bring those I contact to decision. Let me not be a milepost on a single road, but make me a fork that men must turn one way or the other on facing Christ in me. You see, he said, I don't want to just be something along the way that people walk past and that they might notice off to the right. He said, make me be someone in someone's life so that they have to turn to the right or to the left because my life makes them see Christ. And they have to make a decision this way or this way. That's a life that matters. That's a life that's on mission with God. My prayer for me and for you is that we will accept and join in with what God is doing. So we're going to go into a time of decision. And listen, our prayer today is just that we want to begin to say, God, open up my heart to what you are doing. Not just what happens on Sunday morning. That is such a small part of what God is doing. But God, what are you doing in my day-to-day life? If you don't know Christ today and you've never met him, I'll be right down here. We can start a conversation about that. Or if you need to spend some time and just say, God, I want to refocus on what you're doing. Whatever it is, this area is open for you to pray. I'm going to pray, and when I'm done, that's going to be your opportunity to respond. So pray with me. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have right now, God, to make some decisions, to allow through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, to God, to change us. God, I pray for me this week, God, that I would not be so blinded with doing good things that I miss out on the best things. God, that I would be, that you would put people in my path that I might be able to plant and to water, and God, if it so be, to be there at the harvest of what you're doing in their life. God, we know that you are working all the time. God, we know that you love people with a love that is greater we can understand. And Jesus, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. What a great message we have to share, a message of hope. Father, I pray for each person here, God, that they will be open to what you're doing in their lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.